Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church here in Hoyleton. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and today we are gathered to say goodbye to our dear brother in Christ, Wayne Mashoff, who was a beloved husband and father and grandfather and great-grandfather, faithful member of our congregation, and a beloved member of the community. Today, of course, we are gathering even in the midst of a season of joy and peace, the Advent season, looking forward to our celebration of Christmas, and that is still the theme of the day today, even during a funeral. We can have joy and peace because we know that our Savior Jesus has come to rescue us, to be our Savior, to take us into heaven, to be reunited with Wayne someday. Everything that you're going to need for the funeral is going to be found printed for you on this orange-colored bulletin. Except for the words to the hymns, you'll find those printed in the burgundy-colored hymnal that's in front of you in your pew. And we will begin our service with our opening hymn, which is number 710, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." The congregation may be seated. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. In holy baptism, Wayne was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We'll continue our service now as we recite together the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Wayne and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our first reading today comes to us from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll now hear a special musical offering by Wayne's granddaughter, Chloe.
I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one Cause there's a wound here in my heart where something's missing. And they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased. And knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even tears fall down. It's that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. But now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is won. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this vice and this race I'll run. Until I finally see what you can see. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now.
Our second reading comes to us from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Paul writes, "I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the verse. Alleluia! Alleluia! Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our holy gospel reading today comes to us from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now, having heard God's word, we join together in speaking the words of our faith, the words that Wayne shared many times with us throughout his life. In doing so, we will confess the Apostles' Creed. If you need the words to the creed, they are printed on the back flap of the hymnal. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The 3rd day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Congregation may be seated. We turn now to our next hymn, which is number 744, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
The words from that third verse once again. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far. His grace will lead me home. To the family and friends of Wayne Mashoff, to those of you who are gathered here today to remember and celebrate his life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, especially to you, Jackie, Wayne's beloved wife of over 54 years, and all of your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday just so happened to be the 7th anniversary of my installation as the pastor here at Trinity in Hoyleton, and so naturally I spent some time thinking about what life was like when I first moved here, when I was still brand new and still learning who everybody was. And believe it or not, one of the first people that comes to mind when I think about those early days is our brother in Christ, Wayne. It was just the summer after I moved here when Wayne had to have his big open heart surgery. And I remember going to visit him and praying with him before the surgery. I remember that he didn't seem very nervous or anxious about it at all, and that kind of surprised me at first. It probably wouldn't have surprised me if I knew that being a surgery patient was one of his favorite hobbies. That man probably went under the knife more than anybody else I've ever met. That's amazing. But this particular surgery was a very significant one. I mean, obviously, heart surgery is going to be. But also, even though the surgery itself went fine, that is the time when he pretty much lost his ability to swallow. And so that, of course, the rest is history. He had to be fed with a feeding tube the rest of his life. I remember in those days, it was kind of a nice opportunity for me, despite the fact that he was going through all of the things he was going through. It was nice as his new pastor to get to know him a little bit better. I had this opportunity to go and visit with him, and as the experience kind of prolonged, we got to sit in his hospital room and talk. And I learned that Wayne really liked to talk a lot. What really struck me, though, was just how positive and upbeat and friendly he always was, in spite of the fact that he obviously was not feeling very good, and the doctors were not really able to come up with any great solutions, and the process was taking a really, really long time, and Wayne's throat was sore. And I knew that by talking with me, the more he talked, the more sore it became, and yet it didn't seem to bother him. It didn't seem to concern him at all. He just really, really enjoyed being around other people and taking every opportunity he could to share stories, especially stories about his family. I mean, he was so proud of all of you, his kids, his grandkids, all the accomplishments in business and school and sports. He'd talk about going to all of these games, sitting at baseball games and all those basketball games in Nashville. I know recently he had the opportunity to go all the way down to Mississippi for Jacob's graduation. I mean, he talked about that stuff a lot. It's absolutely amazing. Even this last time that I had an opportunity to really have a good conversation with him, which was the last time I visited him in the nursing home, probably close to a month ago, even that day, like, I knew that he was not feeling good. I could tell it was a struggle for him to even breathe, let alone talk, and yet he's still got this smile on his face, and he's joking around, and he's acting like his old self. I mean, never once did I see him start to complain or fall into despair or say, woe is me, or any of those things. For the last 7 years, and I know his health issues go even further beyond that, but just the 7 years that I knew him, I know that he was not very physically strong, but I would still say that Wayne is one of the strongest people you could possibly meet. If not physically, then of course, spiritually speaking. He had a strong faith. He had a trust in Jesus. And that, along with all of the love and support that he had from family and from friends, I mean, that faith is what made it possible for him to have a constantly positive outlook on life, even in the midst of pain and suffering and the effects of the brokenness of sin that we all deal with. As I was preparing for this service today, my mind kept coming back to the way that Wayne's situation reminded me of the words that St. Paul wrote, which we just heard in the epistle reading from 2 Corinthians. Because basically, Paul, in this passage, is telling us that he was dealing with something. We don't know exactly what, but he says in this passage, he calls it a thorn in his flesh. And he doesn't go into any more detail than that. We don't really know what the thorn in Paul's flesh was, but whatever it was, it had evidently been bothering him for quite a long time. He says in this passage, he had been pleading with the Lord to take this thing away from him. He says, three times he prayed. He says that in verse 8. And God, in his infinite wisdom, did not decide to miraculously take this thorn away from Paul, even though he obviously could have. But instead, he used it as a way to show through Paul's life that even weakness and suffering can provide an opportunity to show the powerful difference that God's grace and true faith in Jesus Christ can have in a person's life. I mean, look, nobody likes to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. We don't look forward to feeling these feelings of loss and grief and frustration. But it's in those moments when the darkness comes, that's when the light of Christ shines even brighter in the lives of those who belong to him. That's the point that Paul is getting across here. So much so that Paul at the end of the passage simply says, when I am weak, then I am strong. That could have been Wayne's motto, too. When I am weak, then I am strong. And the only way that a statement like that makes any sense at all is if a person has faith that goes beyond just what they're feeling and experiencing right now, right in front of them. I mean, if all we had was just what's right in front of us here on earth, it would be pretty hard for us to feel any sort of comfort in this world, especially on a day like today. But because we know that Jesus Christ has removed our sins far away from us, as far as the east is from the west, because we know that he has destroyed the power of death, that he has made us his people, that he has promised us that we will live forever in a place where there are no more thorns of any kind, a place where we know that we will be reunited with our loved ones, with Wayne, with all of the saints who have gone before us. Because all of those things are true, not only can we be comforted, but we actually can have joy, we can be hopeful, we can be optimistic, just like Wayne was throughout all these years. And Wayne had many, many thorns that he had to deal with in his flesh. But that didn't stop him from getting the most enjoyment that he possibly could out of all of God's blessings in his life. And as he said to me so many times, and I'm sure some of you have heard him say this too, he just didn't understand how anybody could get through life unless they had faith. Because for him, that relationship he had with the Lord was the foundation. And it truly is the only thing that enabled him to enjoy all of these other things that he so loved, all these people that he so loved and enjoyed. In fact, I would argue that as difficult as it was to watch him go through it all, in the end, the challenges that Wayne faced probably gave him a much different perspective than a lot of other people and made him appreciate his blessings even more, even the ones that we might consider to be insignificant or unimportant or just kind of small. When everything's going according to plan in our lives and you don't have a care in the world, sometimes that can lead a person to forget where all of their blessings come from. It's just kind of human nature. When we don't have to think about it as much and everything's awesome and there's nothing to worry about, sometimes we don't think about where these blessings are from. But on the other hand, when a person experiences the kinds of things that Wayne had to experience, actually what that does is it has a way of amplifying the blessings. Like I said, even the ones that we might think are not that big of a deal. So, I mean, just as an example, I know many of us know this. Wayne got a lot of joy from something as simple as mowing the lawn. He really loved to mow the lawn, you know? Something that, for a lot of other people, is just a chore, right? Something that you kind of do out of necessity. I mean, he just really, really loved to mow the lawn. And so I was talking a little bit with Kurt Grody last night, a neighbor of Wayne's, you know, and he mentioned that at one time, Wayne had gotten a new zero-turn mower, and he was really, really excited to use that mower, and he was out there mowing the lawn. Kurt saw him. And then like 2 or 3 days later, Kurt sees him mowing again. And he's like, Wayne, you know, surely the grass hasn't grown that much since you mowed it last time. And Wayne said something like, well, if you had a zero-turn mower like this, you'd want to be out here too. I just learned the other day about how much Wayne really appreciated food. You know, I mean, pretty much the entire time I've known him, he hasn't been able to eat. But I learned that he used to love to bake coffee cakes, pies. I even learned that he would make his own homemade tapioca pudding, of all things. And, you know, so he wasn't really able to enjoy those things in the same way in these last few years. But here's what I did see. In spite of the fact that he couldn't really eat, he still made this joyful effort to receive the Lord's Supper. Toward the end of his life, he could only eat half of a wafer of bread and drink a little sip of the wine, but he had this extra appreciation for the Lord's gifts, probably even more so than those of us who kind of take for granted the fact that we can eat with no problem. So here's what I really want you to think about today. The same Lord Jesus Christ who filled Wayne with all kinds of joy, even in the midst of all of his challenges and difficulties, that same Lord comes to each and every one of you today. And he gives you a reason to be filled with joy and peace and hope today. We look up here and we see the casket right in front of us, but even as we're looking at the casket, we also see all of these other beautiful things that are in the sanctuary at this time of the year, right? We see the Advent wreath lit, and we see the Christmas trees lit up, and we see these beautiful flowers on the altar. And these are all reminders that we are truly blessed. Even if this is going to be one of the most difficult Christmases your family has ever had to experience, we are truly blessed. Because just like how winter eventually leads us to spring, Christmas eventually leads us all to Easter. And Easter eventually leads us to heaven, where we will be reunited with Wayne and with all of the saints who have gone before us. That is the day when, for each and every one of us, the weaknesses that we feel in our bodies in this life give way to an eternity of strength. That is the day when God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Thanks be to God in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Wayne Mashoff and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Wayne and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Our closing hymn today is number 727, On Eagle's Wings.